Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your loving presence, and we thank you for your word and how your word speaks to our hearts and to our minds. Open our hearts and minds through the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to hear once again what you have to say to us. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture reading this morning is Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 21. Please stand in honor of God's word. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood self-condemned. For until certain people came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But after they came, he drew back and kept himself separate for fear of the circumcision faction. And the other Jews joined him in this hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not acting consistently with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, "If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus, so that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by doing the works of the law, because no one will be justified by the works of the law. But if, in our effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We live in an approval, performance-based culture. We rate just about everything and everyone imaginable, especially world leaders, our president, Congress, governors, but outside of our political scene, individuals seek approval in their work environment, on athletic teams, and in parenting. And the list could go on and on. We seek approval. A new ticket collector had been appointed at a suburban railway station and commenced his duties during a severe spell of wintry weather. Being very conscientious, he insisted on all season tickets being produced as passengers passed through the gates of the station. His predecessor had got to know most of the regular passengers and allowed them to pass without asking them to show their season tickets. After a few days, as the new ticket collector continued to insist on all season tickets being shown, one of the travelers said to him one evening, "You're not at all popular with the traveling public, sir." Pointing to the station master's office, the ticket collector replied, "I don't mind that. It's the man in there with whom I want to be popular. It's his approval that I desire." In this passage of Scripture this morning, the Apostle Paul draws us into a situation to help us understand how we obtain the most important approval of all, and that is God's approval. Remember, as we are continuing through the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul has shared the gospel message with the Galatian church, and he has heard that they have been influenced by Judaizers, Jewish Christians who believe that Gentile Christians need to do more than just believe through faith alone, that they must abide by Jewish law in addition to faith. And Paul is so upset about this. And that is what he continues to confront throughout the book of Galatians. As we left off last week, Paul had met with church leaders in Jerusalem, along with Barnabas and Titus. And in that meeting, there was James and Peter and John, the pillars of the church in Jerusalem. And he shares about this false teaching that's going on in the church. And he brings along Titus as Exhibit A. He's not circumcised, and he is a believer and a Gentile. And then they extend the hand of fellowship to Paul, noting that he was gifted to preach to the Gentiles, and they're gifted to preach to the Jews. And that the gospel message was for all Jews and Gentiles alike. And they encourage Paul, as he's leaving, to meet the physical needs of the poor as well. Well, you would think it's all okay now, but this is the church. And some things never change because we're dealing with people. The church had as many problems back then than the church does today. And so we pick up the story. Paul is now telling about when he was in Antioch. And Peter makes this visit. Now, part of the early church life, they had a common meal known as the Agape Feast or Love Feast. That all of them gathered together and shared this meal. Well, while visiting and eating these love feasts together, Peter initially has no problem eating along with the Gentiles until this little group of Judaizers come. They come from the church in Jerusalem, and Peter fears the issue, and he withdraws from eating with the Gentiles. And then other Jews join him, like Barnabas, even Barnabas. And so Paul is appalled, and he confronts Peter head on, boldly. This all helps us to remember once again that the early church certainly was not perfect. And they stumbled, and they had problems, and things had to be reiterated, and Paul's reiterating it again. He reminds Peter that we are not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Peter begins to slide out of fear and takes others with him in this belief that there's more to grace, that you have to have works. And Paul confronts him boldly that this is not the way. He's outraged at this because it is not the true gospel, which is given through grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ. And you think about how could that even apply to us today? You know, we don't have Judaizers in our midst. But there are some things, perhaps, as Christians that we can get hung up on as well. We may feel that if we spend lots of time in God's Word, that'll give us a better approval rating with God. If we make sure we have perfect church attendance, that'll give us a better approval rating with God. If we pray all the time, surely that will give us a couple more approval points with God. If we are truly loving, oh, surely God, that will boost me up a couple more approval points. Or if I care for the poor and the hungry, surely God will see that, and that will boost me up. I'll look a little bit better. I will be a little bit better. If I care for the widow and the downtrodden, surely that will give me some more bonus points to get the approval of God. Well, now, I'm not telling you not to do any of those things, because we are called as the people of God to do all of those things. But not one of those things will save you. Not one. There is not any work, none, that will save you. Only through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is by grace alone that we are saved. You can't earn salvation by your good works. And I've been to people's funerals. Sometimes they're not members of the church and you're called to do a funeral. And you know what I hear a lot? Well, they were a good person. Well, they may be a good person. Hopefully they were a good person. Hopefully you're all good people. But you know what? Goodness doesn't get you into heaven either. Being a good person doesn't cut it. The only thing that cuts it is saying yes to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is a free, wonderful, precious gift of grace that He has given to us. We are justified. We are made right with God. Once and for all, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, the work was accomplished in Him dying on the cross. And through faith in Him, we have salvation because the work is already done. And if we feel we have to perform in some way to receive that great gift of salvation, we live without joy. We live in fear. We live with a lack of freedom in our lives, and that's not what Christ intended. He intended that our joy might be complete in Him. He intended that we live with peace in our hearts. He intended that we be set free from the bondage of sin. The work was accomplished in Him. And it is only by faith that we are saved. Our works should follow out of this unbelievable gratitude that we have for Jesus and for what He has done in His body on the cross. We should be eager to serve Him, not to win brownie points with Him, but we should be eager to serve Him because we love Him so much. And He has loved us so very much. Paul then states this beautiful truth. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Maxie Dunham shared about his friend who is a Benedictine monk. He said, even though they live out their faith in Jesus in very different ways, one evening they shared their Christian journeys. And Maxie said that the vivid highlight of that evening was sharing. And when his friend shared with Maxie the details of the service, when he made his solemn vows of life commitment of the Benedictine community and the monastic life, The man prostrated himself before the altar of the chapel in the very spot where his coffin will be when he dies. Covered in a funeral pall, the death bell that tolls at the earthly parting of a brother sounded the solemn gongs of death. Then there was silence, the silence of death. The silence of the gathered community was broken by the singing of the words from Colossians, "For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God." After that powerful word, there was more silence as Brother Sam reflected upon his solemn vow. Then the community broke into singing Psalm 118, which is always a part of the Easter liturgy in the Benedictine community. "I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord." After this resurrection proclamation, the deacon shouted the word from Ephesians, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Then the bells of the abbey rang joyfully and loudly. Brother Sam stood. The funeral pall fell off, and the robe of the Benedictine order was placed on him. He received the kiss of peace and was welcomed in the community to live a life hidden in Christ. That symbolic ceremony of death and resurrection is an image of exactly what Paul is saying: "I have been crucified with Christ." Our sins are forgiven. They have been nailed to the cross. We have been crucified with Christ. We are free from the law, and we have a sense of urgency of wanting to live without sin again. I've been crucified with Christ. It's been nailed to the cross. And then he goes on to say, "And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." We have the power of Jesus Christ living in us to sustain us, to strengthen us, to be with us through the most awful times in life. We take on the mind of Christ in our daily living, that we might think like him, we might act like him. He is within us when we say yes to Jesus Christ. We've been crucified with him at the cross. Our sins are forgiven. And now it is I who no longer live, but Jesus lives within me. We yield to the lordship of Jesus Christ, who sustains us and leads us, and who we equally suffer with. We live with the purposes and the motives of what Jesus Christ would do. So how do we gain God's approval? Through grace alone. No works can ever accomplish it. Paul says, if it was works, what would be the point of Christ dying on the cross? But we gain his approval through faith in the work of Jesus dying on the cross. And when we say yes to Jesus in our lives. There's a wonderful song, contemporary Christian song, entitled "Crucified with Christ." I want you to hear the words. "As I look back on what I thought was living, I'm amazed at the price I chose to pay. And to think I ignored what really mattered, because I thought the sacrifice would be too great. But when I finally reached the point of giving in, I found the cross was calling even then. And even though it took dying to survive, I've never felt so much alive. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Not I, but Christ that lives within me. His cross will never ask for more than I can give, for it's not my strength, but his. There's no greater sacrifice, for I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. As I hear the Savior call for daily dying, I will bow beneath the weight of Calvary. Let my hands surrender to his piercing purpose that holds me to the cross, yet sets me free. I will glory in the power of the cross. The things I thought were gain, I count as loss. And with his suffering, I identify, and by his resurrection power, I am alive. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live, not I, but Christ that lives within me. His cross will never ask for more than I can give, for it's not my strength, but his. There's no greater sacrifice, for I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. And I will offer all I have so that his cross is not in vain. For I found to live is Christ, and to die is truly gain. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Not I, but Christ that lives within me. His cross will never ask for more than I can give. For it's not my strength, but his. There's no greater sacrifice, for I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your word and this powerful message that the Apostle Paul proclaimed. Father, help us to hear it again and again and again, because so often, Lord, in this approval-rated performing society that we live in, we too can get caught up in seeking approval in many ways for many things, but even in your approval. Help us, Lord, to know deep within each of our hearts that we are forgiven through faith in Christ alone. And that when we are crucified with you, you have nailed our sinfulness to the cross, and you seek to live in us and make us alive. Help us every day, Lord, to remember that great and wonderful gift of grace that you give to us in Jesus Christ. For we ask and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name.